It's a touch noisy.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live!
This is the big leagues, okay?
Yeah, step it up.
You're riding the pine.
There's little kids in Australia who want to play cricket, and they're listening to TJ and I talk about sports, say, God, one day I can be talked about on Riding the Pine with Kyle and TJ. And I are on the internet. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's worldwide.
Okay. Well, really, you have no idea.
With Kyle and TJ.
We're also incredibly modest.
Yeah, we are. We don't have egos, big heads. Listen, we're the best. And if there's anybody else out there trying to stake claim to that, you got to tell. We'll tell them they're wrong.
Sometimes when you're the fight you.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you're the best, you're the best. And that's just the way it is.
We are going to witness the most anticipated match in the history of professional wrestling.
TJ and I, we're grinding away. We're pros. To be honest with you, we pulled off the weeks before you. We'll pull off the weeks well after you're gone.
Who knows what'll take your life.
And we'll pull off the weeks, you know, in the middle when you decide to take random vacations.
Here on this rugged patch of earth called Plataea, Xerxes Horde's face of liberation! Just there, the barbarians huddle. Sheer terror gripping tight. Their hearts, with icy fingers, knowing full well what merciless horrors they suffered at the swords and spears of three...
Listen up, Rome. Your time's past, chump. Move it along. You in the jungle. Cute. You know what that was clever? 96. It's 2012, guys.
We're showing them it's 2012.
Yeah, Rome.
Get out of here.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Joining you from the far end of the bench, near the water cooler, in overtime, before extra innings. You get the point. Here's Kyle and TJ.
Russ, what can you do for the team? You ever heard of my knuckle puck?
I feel like we say this every time. I'm just that seasoning, man. You're the steak. I make the steak even better. I'm the seasoning on top.
It's knuckle puck time!
He winds up! He scores!
We are back after quite a long layoff. You know what, TJ?
Wow.
Before we get going here, I am noticing one thing that's really bugging me.
Is it too bright?
It's way too bright.
I turned it down, but it's been so long since we've been here. I don't really remember what it's supposed to look like.
It feels like I'm about to give my first performance at Carnegie Hall. Oh, that's an eternity better. Thank you. Whew.
You're
we
welcome.
Just hit that weird level of like back alley dealing.
Yeah.
Level of lighting. That's what we strive for here every week in the dungeon.
As we like to say, the smoky strip club. That's what we're going for.
Yeah, that's what we're going for. That strip club, more of the casino smell with smoke and just depression.
Yeah, crushed dreams, forgotten hopes,
and a strip club level of lighting. I feel that's all appropriate. It puts us in our best light, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, cocaine-ridden dollar bills.
Oh, yeah. We got lines on a mirror sitting next to us. That's just how we do it in the dungeon. You may already notice a certain amount more of professionalism and lack of terrible.
Doesn't take long. You know, Kyle, I just got to say this. You know, we skipped 2 weeks.
We did. We did. You know
and
what?
The whole reason we skipped 2 weeks was because we couldn't fit Nader Tot into the schedule.
Exactly. We're trying to be nice.
And guess what? Nader Tot. Fit him into the schedule this week. Everything was good to go. And 5 minutes before recording, I give him a call because he's still not here.
Which is already 25 minutes after the time we were supposed to start recording.
And I hear...
Hello?
Oh, no.
What's up?
Oh, my God. Who sleeps?
It's 5 in the afternoon, Kyle.
It is not even the evening yet. And he sounds like he was tucked in three Snuggies and with a pillow over his head.
You're either the oldest man on the face of the earth or the most biggest alcoholic.
Oh, yeah. Either way, it's not a good place to be in. So we try to accommodate him. He had plenty of notice about this special recording time this week so we could get it in.
He said when I texted him, will this time work? He's like, yeah, that'll work. I can do that. Perfect. Apparently not.
Here we are.
Here we are. Nader-totless.
We started recording now 45 minutes after our original intended time without Nader-tot.
Mm-hmm.
So we just decided to wing it.
You know, we really had some momentum going into the episode 2 weeks ago, which, you know, whatever. You can't fit him in. We can't fit him in. We'll get it next week. Oh, can't do it again.
Yep.
We could have at least gotten him this week, or maybe we should have just gone on without him 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah. At this point, I think he's a he's back to being a cameo appearance.
We're back to debating. Well, not really even debating. We've actually gotten into serious discussions of erasing him from every podcast we've
done. I'll do it. If I have time, it's getting done. I will tell you right now, my girlfriend works Saturday and Sunday this weekend, 11 to 11. There is zero chance that I will have things to do to fill up that entire time.
Yeah.
I will have time to go back and just remove every bit of Nader-tot that you have heard in this podcast for however long you've heard it.
Which makes all of this that we're saying right now kind of null and void.
It does.
So you're not going to be hearing this probably after we erase all of that Nader-tot. Over the weekend here.
None of this will make sense. It's all going to sound crazy.
You'll hear the intro, and it'll be straight to us making a joke about some kid.
Yeah, that's the way it always has gone. Like, recently, our past episodes. Now, I think all of our episodes are shining achievements of sports recording and talk radio.
Oh, they're A+.
But our recent episodes of jumping all over these feel-good stories with kids thinking that they're making the world a better place, that little effort from that soccer match really still gets me.
He gets me too, man. He really irks me. And like I said, all Make-A-Wish kids, really.
Taking a run at the whole program. I'll never forget, you know, that whole video. And I hadn't watched it before bringing it into the show. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's all happy-go-lucky. And then the kid won't share the spotlight. He won't let his teammates, you know, hug him and mob him.
Yeah, it would have been a good It would have been a good feel-good story that even we couldn't have ruined if not for that one bit of selfishness and glory-hounding. This, look at me, look at me.
That's exactly what it was. That is exactly what it was.
No,
so,
because you know what? There's no stars in this room. Everyone is for the team, except for Nader-tot, big leaguing us and glory hound and everything.
We are the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah.
And Nader-tot is like a Darren Williams wannabe, a coach killer, if you will.
Yeah, we are like the San Antonio Spurs now instead of last year when they had Steven Jackson, the coach killing cancer.
Yeah. So Nader-tot really just brings us down. We've all agreed on that in the past anyway.
Yeah.
We were a locomotive, and we're headed into the station, and you know what? He pulls the brake on it.
He disengages the coal trains that feed the power.
We actually have guests in studio. TJ's girlfriend is here with us, so that's why if you hear food eating at some point, that's it. But she's already provided more insight than Nader-tot has in 15 of the last 20-something episodes.
Bummer for you, Nader-tot.
And I don't even think she's opened her mouth, but it's already more concise, it's already better, it's already more informative than whatever that dickhead ever brought to the table.
She's more appealing to the eye when she sits in the corner than when Nader-tot sits in the corner.
Well, because when Nader-tot sits in the corner, you feel like you have to, like, give yourself a hug and hide yourself because he's staring at you creepily. Like, is he leering or is he just waiting for me to say something? I can't decide.
I suddenly feel like I need more clothes on.
It feels like it's about 78 in here, but a hoodie can never hurt anybody.
No.
So I'm going to go grab one of those. So, yeah, we'd appreciate it if you don't stare at us, leer at us. That would be lovely.
I don't care if you leer at me.
Yeah, that might be weird if you leer at me.
That was a very uncomfortable, oh, God.
Well, as usual, the lovely dungeon and this pit of a building offered us a new course, an entree of problems today, TJ.
Yeah, we did.
Now, the one thing, oddly enough, the one thing that we've never had a problem with in the dungeon is chairs.
Yeah,
there's usually about four, sometimes a few extra stools that look like there's one wheel hanging off them.
Sometimes they don't work, yeah, like you said, but
there's always, quantity-wise, there's always enough.
Chair graveyard, but, I mean, today someone removed the headstones.
They did, yeah. So we decide, well, we get here, and there's two chairs. And at that time, there's three of us, and at that point, we were all still...
waiting on we the had old a, ball and chain, yeah, the anchor,
yeah,
show anchor,
yeah.
Nader Tot.
Hey, you guys wanna go take the cigarette boat out for a ride? Hang on, let me throw the anchor off the back, then punch it. That's Nader Tot.
hey guys, we're gonna go on a canoeing trip down this river. It'll be real fun. Oh yeah, let me just drill a hole in the boat here first. See how far we get.
Hey guys, all right. I'm going to go race. I'm going to go on the NASCAR experience down wherever I can do that. I'm going to do 5 laps in the Richard Petty experience. First thing I'm going to do, I'm going to hit the parking brake. And then I'm going to take off. And that's Nader Tot.
Hey, guys. We're gonna go down to the Indy circuit here. We're gonna get some drag racing in. But, you know, before we do that, let me just throw these spike strips in front of your car.
See how
that works out for you.
Yeah, hey, you ever taken a long road trip with 3 flats? Let's do that one. Let's put that on there. So we get here today, and we decide, well, we'll be nice. We'll get everything ready while we wait to hear from Nader Tot. We go and we go next door to the mythical extra studio where we've had discussions about transferring to. And every time I go over there, I think that's less and less likely.
Yeah,
I feel like there's some airborne diseases over there.
Uh-huh. It's always a little differently laid out every time we go in there, too. Like someone makes an effort to clean it, but then other people put more crap in there, and it just starts accumulating more and more junk.
Yeah, and this time was some... It felt like a new low today, and you know what? The engineer, or the IT guy who runs all that stuff, he actually poked his head in. I should have asked him about this. We're looking in this studio for chairs, and we, honest to God, had to move about 15 computer monitor boxes. Empty boxes! Just open from the top, nothing in them, and knowing this crap hole, they're probably, like we discussed, TJ, they're probably just waiting to give them away at some stupid prize at an event.
Yeah, well, it does make a lot of sense, Kyle, because each one of those empty boxes does weigh 150 pounds.
There is just a sheer mass to it that they were all difficult. Why would you keep that?
I don't know. Maybe you hate. Maybe they're waiting to recycle them. Or
that's probably, you're probably spot on.
Or maybe it's like we discussed earlier, they're just going to jam it full of bumper stickers and blank CDs for some stupid promo.
They had, for the longest time in this building, a full box, like a postal box. I mean, this thing, it weighed about 100 pounds full of letter openers for a station
that they changed.
Yeah, they had changed the logo. They had changed the tag. These things were useless for more than 10 years.
Letter openers have never not been useless.
No, because you know what? If I don't have one in my pocket, I'm just going to rip the envelope. I'm not going to spend time searching it.
Breaking news, Kyle. Turns out all humans have these things called fingers, which can actually open envelopes.
Oh, paper cuts all over. That is a big problem, is mass paper cuts all over fingers.
It seems like they're expecting people who open all of their envelopes by hand to cut off their hands like saw.
Well, this is a safety concern, really, so we better buy 3 million letter openers with a logo that we're going to change in 3 weeks. That's how radio works. And then we'll buy a brand new SUV, put a huge vinyl thing all over it, with a morning show we're going to fire in 6 weeks. It's pretty spectacular.
Oh, hey, and by the way, salespeople who got these promos made, you're fired too.
Yeah, nice work. Hit the bricks, man.
Station design, losers.
Oh, yeah, this looks great. Actually said during a meeting.
See this big red button? It means you're fired.
Yeah. That's why they have such a high turnover here. They just press a button, and that's a sales member getting fired.
They press a button, and then the side of the building opens up, and they all get sucked out.
Yeah, if you can hang on to a chair or something mounted into the ground, you get to stay on.
It's like trash removal for a space shuttle mission.
Just an eject button. Run thousands of miles out towards the sun.
That's the sound of someone being ejected.
That's that sales staff. Gone. Replace them.
Wait, did that just happen? Was that me?
Hang on. Did we just hit a meeting? Was there a meeting going on? Now, before we get into this litany of stories that we have literally opened up in tabs with no order at all.
It's 3 weeks of stories, Kyle.
I'm going to click on them, and then we're just going to go when that happens.
Oh, yeah, see what story is this.
But before I do, I want to briefly mention, because it has been mentioned in about a month and a half. You know, TJ, I started off fantasy baseball on a real rough foot.
Yeah.
I was about 20 games under 500, ninth out of 10. And I told everybody I was going to do it, and I've done it.
You're above 500?
I'm above 500.
I'm
not
below.
Only am I above 500, fourth place, my good man.
Holy cow. Dude,
I
you did some work.
I have been skyrocketing. I also have, and I'm almost embarrassed to say this, I also have 30 waiver wire moves.
Yeah, well, I'm close to that, and I've started off hot, and now I'm below 500.
When I looked yesterday, you appear to be in a bit of a rough patch.
I don't know what's going on either, man, because I feel like my team's pretty good. So I don't know if there's much
I
can do.
Yeah, I look at mine on paper and I hate it. So
yeah.
We're the opposite. I don't have any speed, very minimal power, and 80% of my team's on the DL. You can also add Jake Peavy to that for 4 to 6 weeks. So that I now have 3 pitchers on the disabled list.
I think I just
two
have
position players.
I just have a bunch of underachieving pitchers. I have Clayton Kershaw and then 50 files of crap. And then, like, Max Scherzer, and that's it.
So you got like a 1A, and then, you know, a 1B/2A type of guy with, you know, has a really good peripheral numbers. And then, like, you're really talking credit, no credit
guys. I mean, Matt Cain, didn't he, like, win Cy Young 2 years ago or something? His ERA is 7
or 8. It's not good.
He has a billion. All my pitchers have a billion losses.
Yeah.
Tommy Malone, who's not pitching too terribly for the A's, loses every single game he pitches because the A's are apparently terrible.
Yeah.
Who knew?
I check it more often than I feel comfortable with because I realize, oh yeah, this is baseball. And nobody else is looking at it now.
Yeah.
But so there's your fantasy baseball update. You know what though? I did see a tab right around the corner. Fantasy Football 2013 is starting. That means I would estimate, TJ, that by the middle to end of July, you and I will be talking, you and I will be breaking down some fantasy football previews.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I can't wait, man. I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm just going to give you all a sleeper pick right now.
Whoa!
Right here, right
Hang
now.
Hang on, everybody. Hold the phone. We've got a fan. I feel like I should get some audio for this.
Top 10 running back this season, and I guarantee this. I guarantee it. Reggie Bush.
I knew it was coming.
He's going to be the Lions' number two receiver. Kyle, you know what's going to happen.
That is so sad, too. Reggie Bush is fitting to be utilized like he should have been forever, which is about 12 to 16 carries and probably 7 balls a week out of the backfield.
I would be shocked if he got that many carries.
You really think so? 12 to 15?
I think he'll probably get somewhere around like 6 carries and probably catch 6 or 7. But LeSueur, you got LeSueur, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a dead split between them.
If LeSueur keeps on what he did last year, which was after about 4 games in, just start getting like 3 yards a carry and then falling down.
Yeah.
Then I think you'll see Reggie Bush more. But they need to keep him healthy, man. And if he takes that pounding every time between the tackles, he's not going to be healthy for them.
I didn't think 10 carries was going to be that much. Maybe I'm.
I don't think they'll run the ball that much.
That's true. That is a staple of the line. So that's a little bit of what you have in store.
Yeah.
I
can't wait. I'm fired up.
Fantasy football is here, folks. You can already start sending your questions to us at RidingThePine3 on Twitter, which we've been a touch more active on that recently as well.
Yeah.
If you missed out on our live tweeting, you missed out.
You did. You can't go back. It's not going to make sense now.
No. I mean, you can act like you were there and read all the tweets, and they might make sense. You know, but they're not going to.
Uh-huh. We also have to discuss on the Ride in the Pine Twitter account some goings-ons that happened with yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that worked.
you kind of blew our wad all in one tweet.
Well, I don't know if that was entirely my fault. I feel like my tweet from the Riding the Pine account to our
dear friend.
To our dear friend that we've mentioned and we're not going to mention anymore. I don't feel like it was as bad as it could have been. There's a few curse words.
No, I mean, this is the exact tweet. Eat a fat one.
Is that what it said?
Yeah.
I believe it was a dedication.
There's no curse words there, but he really took it the wrong way, got bent out of shape, and blocked us.
I feel like it was a dedication. I know for a fact I said I want to dedicate
it was.
This 885th tweet. 885, that's a nice number. It's nice and round, and I said I want to dedicate this 885th tweet to a certain person. I believe I said your show sucks and then eat a fat one. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Oh, I'm sorry. It was not 885th. I actually may have deleted it. It appears that I did delete it. That's a darn shame, isn't it?
That is.
You'll never notice that again.
Well, I just told you what it said. It said, eat a fat one.
It did. It did say that. There was a directive to do something that he did not appreciate. And blocked us thus wise. We can still tweet at him, but...
That was really a JFK, too, because that was really unprovoked. Just from the grassy knoll.
You know what? I find myself reading his Twitter feed occasionally, and just he sits there, and I just hate his face. I had to let him know. So I did.
Fair enough.
I regret nothing.
And we all still have access to him on our personal account, so we get a second chance. No? Not you?
Nope. Only two of us.
Actually, Nader Tot told me I think he might be blocked, too.
He did.
I think on the last one.
Because Nader Tot jumped in.
He did.
On the Riding the Pine Twitter and let him have it, and that resulted in a blocking. As well, but
that was a fun night.
It was a fun night. Hey, it happened.
We did a live tweet, and then we did that. So
yeah, it came out of nowhere. It just rose up in me, and I, you know what? It's a guy who he follows 4,300 people, but he has 3,900 followers. I don't even know how he looks at things on Twitter.
No,
that must just be a hodgepodge of nonsense.
It's a hodgepodge of nonsense when I look at it with 300.
Yeah, and it's so. He angers me, and I had to let him know. But that's about it for but you do need to follow us there, at RidingThePine3 on Twitter, impromptu live tweeting. So, by the way, we solicit advice there all the time. Fantasy-related, regular sports questions you have or you want our take on. We get that on our Facebook page a lot as well, facebook.com/RidingThePine. Utilize the Twitter for that, too, at RidingThePine3. Always recommended. Well, we're going to jump right in here, TJ, because we've already somehow, the pros got it done. As usual, the pros get the job done. Before we're even discussing anything, almost 23 minutes of content.
Yep. But I want to let you all know right now, next 37, lackluster.
Oh, yeah. You just sit back down.
And that's what it's going to be. It's going to be 37 because I got to go to a baseball game, y'all.
Yeah, so we're going to wrap this up. Well, what we do, and now looking at these, looking at the tabs I have open, mm-hmm. I notice there's quite a bit of TV reporter and announcer content this week. So let's get all that stuff out of the way because I feel like there's
been a lot of miscues in the media today or over the last 3 weeks here.
Now there's Greg Popovich, the head coach of the San Antonio Spurs,
Western Conference champions. I believe I called that during our 2 minute roundtable.
I'm gonna be honest with you, I tuned it out. I didn't hear a word.
I did. I called Spurs Heat.
I don't remember Nader Tot's Stanley Cup final prediction, but I'm sure it was nothing. Did he even get to it? I doubt he even got to it.
Actually, I think you're right. I don't think he made predictions. He just talked about the Red Wings for about a minute and a half.
God, what a miserable man.
Yeah. Well,
what a miserable man.
That's what he brings. He brings a small picture.
He really does. We like to open it up. We like to go big picture,
you know,
worldwide.
There is a market for local small-time media, but we're trying to go national. We're going global.
There is. The local small-time media is the guy we were just talking about.
Exactly.
We're going global. We want to hit every aspect. That's why we talk cricket. That's why we talk rugby. That's why we talk soccer.
That's why we have a story about Australian hockey.
Yeah. We have everything for you. We have Australian hockey, Thai soccer.
College baseball.
College baseball, NFL, NBA, golf. Tell me another podcast or sports show, TJ, that you're going to get that wide range of topics. Because it's not going to happen.
There's not one single person in the world who's doing a different sport for every topic or segment. We're the only ones.
Only ones. And you know what? You may look at yourself right now and go, I don't want to hear about Thai soccer or Australian hockey.
Yeah, you think
you
that now.
Sit down and you listen. You like it because we're going to feed it to you and you're going to enjoy it.
You like it because we say so and we're awesome.
We're the best.
We're the overlords.
And you should sit there and respect it. So shut your mouth. Oh, seriously, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
So anyway, Greg Popovich, head coach, San Antonio Spurs, notorious for not being, you know, I don't know if he's not a media hater. He just treats them with such, to me, he's the almost the opposite of Bill Belichick, because Bill Belichick will just
cliche it.
Oh boy, yeah. He'll just go out there and, you know, put her heart as it. And you know what? That's what he wants to do. He wants to get the media away from him.
Yeah.
That's fine. Popovich does the opposite in that same vein, in the regards that he simply will look at you and say your question is stupid,
yeah.
Or he'll give you a real backward answer that won't make a ton of sense, because the fact is, these coaches are mandated to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some coaches are better with the media than others. I look at Jim Harbaugh. I feel like, in some regards, he's a bit of a media hound. He likes it. He eats it up when he gets to go to those press conferences. I feel like that. Popovich, not so much. So here he was on the sideline, or courtside, if you will, after a practice. This is before, I believe they had already finished off the Grizzlies at this point.
They swept the Grizzlies. So they, yeah.
Yeah, so they were done. So they were just practicing, shooting around, warming up, whatever it may be, when, you know, he's supposed to do his media session. Now, this was after game 6 of Miami Heat Indiana Pacers had just happened, and someone listened to the question that they asked Greg Popovich and in his retort here.
Dude.
Did you watch last night's Miami Indiana game?
No, I watched, you know, one of those island shows.
Survivor, yeah.
No. I didn't even hear that the first time. You hear him answer. Now, I don't know what he's getting at. Granted, I'm not a huge NBA guy, and I don't know about Greg Popovich's tendencies. Is he ahead? My gut would tell me he watched.
Yeah. I don't think that you win 4 NBA titles without watching your opponent.
Yeah. But, you know what? I don't know, but I still think it's a stupid question. There's better stuff that can be answered, you know?
There's no other coach in the NBA that you less want to ask a stupid question to than Greg Popovich.
Oh, because he'll shame you.
Yeah,
He'll humble you on the spot, and that's what he does.
He'll make you question your decision to go into journalism,
yeah.
your 4-year degree, your life, your choices, your family.
Fun fact, 80% of former Spurs beat writers and media reporters are now bank tellers, and they're all divorced because they cried too much.
they go to therapy 3 times a week.
They really do. They have to talk about what happened. They really do. No, he didn't touch me. He just told me things. He made fun. Listen again now. Like I mentioned, I couldn't hear this to begin. Listen to the audible. Just the dismay in his voice. You can't see it. He's shaking his head. He is so disheartened by this question.
He's like, man, I thought I taught you better than that.
Yeah.
He's like a disappointed
dad.
He
is. He's disappointed. He's looking at you, and you know, you shouldn't have stole it. I'm really disappointed in you.
Now go apologize to the officer. Go apologize to the people.
Still love you, but I'm disappointed in you.
You can do better. Come on.
Survivor, yeah.
Shakes his head. Jesus.
Unbelievable. Can some of you all get out? I mean, help me. Did I watch the game?
Oh boy, that guy's got.
I'm uncomfortable.
Oh boy, that's got to feel rough if you're that reporter. Do you just kind of fade into the back? Because you know we've both seen those mobs where it's about 15 reporters in a half circle facing him, everybody trying to get their microphone over the top. Do you think that guy just kind of slowly started taking baby steps backward to try to get out of the limelight?
He's like, yeah, I think I got enough now. Yeah. I'll just make up the rest of your quotes.
Thanks, coach. And then fade into oblivion. You know that guy has never been named.
Oh, no.
Because
can you
he's
imagine?
Too embarrassed. You know his wife already left him. His kids hate him.
She saw this on YouTube. She was like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm going to go with that one guy who laughed at you.
I could have gone out with the star quarterback of my high school team.
Yeah, and I went
up
with
marrying
you.
You. Wow, nice one,
yeah.
Loser.
He's running a Subway franchise.
Yeah, I think I'll go back, see if he still thinks I'm hot.
I still got it. Now, this is just a series of videos that the videos I have don't have audio for them, but they need to be seen. Cincinnati Bearcats, college baseball team. You know, they have the setup similar to any baseball franchise, minor league, collegiate, professional, whatever it may be, in the regards that they always take a player who had a good game, and they'll have some sideline reporter, in this case, a Gomer-looking kid.
Oh, dude.
This kid's in rough shape.
Russian exchange student.
Well, it looks like what happened was...
Looks like he was punched in the eye.
Yeah, he does have some eye problem, but it looks like what happened is, like, he turned or something too quick and hit his chin. It's gone. His chin's gone.
What?
Look, it's missing. Like, it's like he was walking around a corner... And his chin got in
his
the way.
His chin fell off.
And maybe when he was a baby, like, compacted it all up in there.
Oh, my gosh.
He's a real ugly kid. That's what we're getting at.
Yeah, maybe you should not be on TV. Maybe go with the reporter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Print, radio.
Uh-huh.
Plenty of options out there in terms of media that he could pursue.
Behind the camera? I mean, really, you could go with TV, but
yeah.
The one you currently have is a little bit too much.
Yeah. Well, the Bearcats, so that, you know, they have this set up, and it's always on the side of the field. The field's empty. You know, there's
grounds crew
out there doing what they do. Sideline reporter, player, that's the image,
mm-hmm.
except for the background, which we mentioned is the field. Now, the Cincinnati Bearcats have taken it upon themselves to, as this article names it, taking photo bombing to the next level, which it absolutely does. It's incredible. Okay, there's a series of about five or six GIFs here, and I'm never going to call them GIFs.
I don't
like care
GIFs.
What the creator says.
I like GIF.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I do. Because yeah. Then every time I send someone a GIF, I tell them I have a GIF for you.
Oh, you could just say you have a gift.
No, because that would insinuate an actual present. GIF differentiates it.
That is, that's very true. So,
sidebar.
In these videos, you can see now the ones we're watching right here. Two players are holding up a Bearcat as he's swimming backwards. he's swimming the backstroke. And the next one is one player on another's shoulders, and he's like looking to the yonder, like he's searching
Ahoy,
for something.
Matey.
Yeah, he's a pirate on a ship spotting land. The third one is my favorite. And that is a guy sitting on a folding chair with the team fanning him with rakes as he's kissing to the crowd like he's a king. Now, that's elaborate because it looks like they're talking to the manager there. Like, he
uh-huh.
looks a little older. And the manager's like, yeah, I can't get these kids in line.
Well, if you read the article, too, the Bearcats are terrible.
Oh,
they're like
yeah.
Six
we'll get
and eight.
To that. We're going to get to that in a minute. Now, you know, this actually is my favorite one. I don't know what this is. It's a massive tube.
I don't know what that is either.
Two players carrying one guy hanging in the middle like he's a dead pig going to a spit roast.
Yeah. I've never seen a tube that long before in a
yeah,
baseball studio.
That's sturdy?
It looks like a pole vault tube.
Yeah.
But it's
thicker.
Yeah.
And it holds a person's body weight.
Yeah.
So, and then the final one is of two players jousting, which is tremendous as well.
Baseball bats. Lances.
So it's, they actually do have a full video here. Let's pop this up. See.
Five.
Because I've always wondered, and I asked TJ this off, like, does the sideline reporter, obviously he has to know something's going on, but is he just trying to be ultra pro?
Oh. In this case, no, he doesn't know what's going on. That's my opinion.
Because it has to be loud enough behind him.
Yeah, maybe like the jousting one where he heard the bats hit and then the players fall to the ground.
Yeah.
But the
Four,
other one's probably not.
Three, two.
Oh, this kid's an absolute gump.
I like how they just make fun of him, too, by zooming in tighter every
Look
one second.
Look at his eyes. Look at his eyes.
Five.
Shift.
Four. Three. Two. One. Inga locks it down in the ninth after a rough start from Pritchard.
Oh, so this is the first one.
Bearcats TV here with the winning pitcher, Grant Walker, and Grant, you tie a career high with five innings. You give up just one.
See, he's oblivious.
Good about the way you're approaching your at-bats and being able to get on base. And, set the table for your team.
Yeah, you just got to have a nice
The spit roast going by. That's tremendous. This kid doesn't know a thing. You are right. He does not know a thing.
No.
Now, this is the one where I feel like he would have had to know because there's eight people. Three of them are waving rakes. Four of them are have another person on a chair. And one is, like, kissing to a crowd. Like, you have to notice that.
Yeah.
I know they're behind me.
He says.
You're in a pitcher's duel until the bottom of the sixth inning. Your team comes to the your first career home run. I know, obviously, that was a big moment for you. And, you know, you really helped your team out of the
That's
leadoff
the back
spot
tonight,
setting the table and allowing your team to score some runs.
Yeah, I just said.
Oh, they did it with a front stroke.
Bearcats TV here with D.H. Ryan Quinn. What was the key for you here in your performance tonight?
I'd say the key was just
far and away the most elaborate one, unnoticed.
Dude has no idea.
The shaving cream pie, that's all good and well. That's old school. I appreciate that.
Now, what were the shenanigans going on during the race? Anything good going on there?
You know, that is spectacular.
I don't participate in that kind of stuff. You know, I think that's Little League. I don't do that stuff now.
You know what? To these guys' credit, that is outstanding stuff. At least they're enjoying the game. Now, here's the problem, TJ, that you mentioned. They may be enjoying the game just a touch too much.
Yeah, I don't know if I would be as happy and carefree when if my team was 24-32.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. 24-32 makes it look more respectable than it was. They were 6-18 in their conference.
Yeah.
Eek.
I don't know. I don't know much about college baseball, but I don't think the Big East is a powerhouse.
I don't turn on the TV and see them televising the Big East Invitational or whatever you want to call it.
UConn, Georgetown, college baseball. Coming up, St. John's taking on their rivals from across the town.
You don't see that very often on ESPN or even ESPN2. Even the NBC Sports Network turns. The NBC Sports Network televises, I want you to know, the Atlantic 10 basketball tournament. Okay?
Yeah. That's interesting.
That is somehow above the Big East anything. So take that, Big East. Now, if I'm the manager of this, though, and I see this, and I'm 24-32 and I'm about to get fired, I don't think these antics are about to happen anymore.
No, maybe he's accepted it. He's like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. I'll get a better job at a better school. We'll go undefeated and win the national title.
Well, he's not us taking over a school.
That is true. Maybe. Yeah. Well, once this guy gets fired, we can take over.
Yeah, of course.
Bring it right in. We've already laid that out, banners and babes.
Now, banners and babes bringing championships to the city.
We'll fill in
the city once we get a city.
Yeah, we'll find the 10 attractive people in Cincinnati and.
Well, we might have to go into Kentucky for that.
Yeah.
Border town. So, you know, from one terrible announcer to another, you know, it's the only way to describe
worst.
This. This guy is the worst. Now, granted, we are Detroit Tiger fans, but.
I think anyone would agree. Hawk Harrelson of the Chicago White Sox is the worst announcer in baseball for sure. If not baseball, all of sports.
Well, and as we were reading, him and his broadcast partner, Something Stone, were elected by GQ as the worst broadcasting tandem in baseball.
There's no doubt in my mind. I mean,
they're
the
terrible.
Blatant homerism, like you said, the fanboy nature.
And that's really my only issue because I understand you're an employee of the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah.
But it's also your job to call a baseball game and to call it without you yelling at the umps when you don't get a strike call for your team.
Yeah, and
which he's done before. He's done that.
Yeah, and I understand, like, all of these broadcast teams, for the most part, are going to have that kind of home team slant.
Yeah.
But this is like Mount Everest.
This really is the worst of the worst. This clip we're about to play you is, in my mind, the worst of the worst. Now, he's known for his temper. He gets upset. He yells. He gets mad, and everything's out to get the White Sox in his book. Well, this week there was a historic Major League Baseball game between those White Sox and the Seattle Mariners. First game in history. We got to the top of the 14th inning.
0-0 game.
0-0 game. The White Sox put up a 5 spot. Done and
game
done.
Game over.
Done and done. Okay. Come to the bottom of the 15th. Now let's, we could actually play the regular call because this is actually a respectable human doing their job. This is what happened in the bottom of the 15th. 14th, sorry.
It's Reed. High fly ball, deep right center field. It's got carry. Tie ball game! Carl Seager ties it up with a grand slam! What a ball game!
Oh, absolutely unbelievable play there. Grand slam game tire in the bottom of the 14th.
Down to his last strike, last out.
A huge moment.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure those were the, I'm positive those were the Seattle Mariners TV announcers.
Yes.
But I still think they called that fine. The guy laughing in the background, a little excitement in the voice to match the game intensity. A job well done.
Yeah, well, you're down five runs, and then you just hit a grand slam to tie the game. I don't think there's any level of excitement that would be too much for that moment, honestly.
Now, we'll come back to this video in a second. Well, we may have to skip it if we don't have time, but we can make a brief mention of it here shortly. But so go back to Hawk Harrelson. Now, that same moment in the game, this is how Chicago White Sox's Hawk Harrelson called it.
And that ball hit deep into right center field.
That's Hawk Harrelson right there, right?
Yep. Now, I didn't turn it down. You're hearing the crowd ambiance. You're hearing what radio listeners heard who were listening to the White Sox broadcast.
We got the funk. Gotta have that funk.
Seconds now. And all he said is fly ball right field.
Disgusting.
And we've got a 5-5 tie.
Wow. It took him 49 seconds to mention the score. This guy is the worst.
I mean, I always tell, because Nader Tat and I work for the baseball team, and we're working with our announcers all the time and telling them, giving them pointers and stuff. And I always tell them, yeah, don't be afraid to take a breather and just let the crowd, let the crowd noise go. But I always tell them, you know, maybe 10 seconds. Max, 10, 15 seconds max.
Yeah.
A minute? Are you kidding me?
And you know what? It's one thing to let the game breathe. That's not letting the game breathe.
No.
You have a job to do right there, and that is call the action or at least say what happened and then let the crowd, you know, fill in the gaps, you know, because you at least have to say fly ball right field has got some distance and it's gone. Ty, I'm not expecting you to be jumping up and down, you know, you're for the White. You have to mention what happened, not wait 49 seconds. How can, you know what, you still, you know, the old timers, you know, oh, watching a game's not as good as listening to it on the radio. How can anybody listen to that and be okay with that?
You can't, because you're supposed to be telling the story. The crowd's not supposed to tell the story.
No.
And although, yeah, the crowd's excited, you can infer what happened. Come on, guy.
Yeah.
Like,
it really is embarrassing, and he has long been lauded as the worst, as the absolute worst.
Well, I can imagine why, because he's not doing his job, like you said.
Yeah. Now, we're going to jump back, if this computer cooperates with me a little bit here, TJ, we're going to jump back to this video, the proper call of that grand slam, because there's a moment that is worthy of viewing. Now, it's Seattle. Their team is still, they're stuck.
Yeah.
They've been in neutral for probably 5 years now, so they are stuck. Needless to say, they don't get a lot of fans. They're not packing Safeco, which is a beautiful ballpark every time I've seen it.
And I'm sure in the 14th inning of a 0-0 game where the other team just put up five runs, most of the fans
of
have left.
So there's, needless to say, there's not a lot of people there. And then, you know, we'll recap, as you know, the grand slam from Kyle Seager ties the game. As the grand slam's hitting the stands, though, you may have seen this or heard about this. This dad, okay, or this guy, I guess I don't know if he's this kid's dad. And you can see it coming right about here.
Oh, yeah.
Grand slam ball hits. Dad, hand on the seat, peering everywhere for this ball. Poor kid looks like he has no idea what's happening. What? What's going on, Dad?
Are you going to leave me again to get more beer?
I dropped my soda. Oh, it's sticky.
Dad, what happened? What's that mean? And then this happens where he just bowls him down in the middle of the aisle. This poor kid gets run over like a lawnmower would hit grass.
That kid will never forget this moment, but not because of the Grand Slam.
Yeah, because he's going to be talking about it in therapy. So look at that. That image there showed it the best. This kid's just watching. And that guy just bowls him over.
It lands right in his row, so it's at his feet. He's paying no attention to anything going on around him. Singularly focused on getting that ball.
Absolutely outstanding. I love that guy. Now, I don't know if they showed the follow-up, but most of the time the crowd will make you feel bad enough into... is this the Harrelson Caldwell?
Yeah.
Yeah. Boo. Boo.
Yeah.
So, happened, and it seems like that's been happening more. You know, the guy who caught the...
It does.
What was that, about a month ago or a month and a half where we played the audio or video of that guy who caught the beer in his... Or the ball in his beer and then chugged the beer afterwards. Yeah. Like, what is going
on? Wasn't that Seattle, too? I think that was Seattle
as
well.
I think you're right. What is happening to crowds, man? It's like a crowd mentality. Like, yeah, I can get away with anything. I'm going to take off my pants and sit here and just become a caveman. I'm in a crowd. Nobody cares.
Watch me punch out this guy next to me.
Yeah.
Boom.
Hey,
foul ball.
Hey, y'all want to start a brawl and then I'll throw you on the field? Like, good God. What is going on that it becomes okay because there's a $3 baseball landing near you to trample a child?
I'm going to catch this foul ball, run to the nearest concession guy, and flip the hot dogs right in his face.
And then I'm going to point and say, you know why? You know why? And then I'm going to run away. What is happening, man?
Then I'm going to get naked and run on the field.
My wife will bail me out. She's cool.
She loves it.
So, we mentioned earlier, and we need to get to this before. I don't know. TJ, you let me know. You kind of give me a signal when you want to cut it short.
Sure.
When you have to go here, and we'll finish up our last story. But I do want to get to this one because it's funny to make fun of Australians. Apparently, and honestly, you could not have paid me money to guess that they play hockey in Australia. Seriously.
So
even on a recreational level. I would never have guessed that they play hockey in Australia.
Okay. It was a little weird how you described that you could not be paid to take a guess.
Yeah, well, I was...
You could not be paid to go to a game or...
Well, that as well. In Australia, yeah. Are you kidding me?
And it looks like that's pretty much true of everyone in Australia.
Yeah, it's professional. They have an announcer there. This looks like one of those where you can watch the game live online type of thing if you're a real fan of this hockey club. Which I don't know how you could be.
If you, like, own the team, you watch the game, but that's it.
There's no way to describe this. We'll play the audio for you, but just listen. This is an Australian hockey game actually happening.
And pinned to Darryl Hamilton. Now Taylor.
I can't get over the accents.
Darryl Hamilton.
That's a beautiful thing. Now, the first thing that happens, we'll get to the reason for this story in a moment. The first thing you see that happens is just an unfortunate...
Yeah,
it's just an unfortunate player sandwich for this referee.
Yeah.
He takes a double-decker is what he takes.
It's ref's job to get out of the way of the play, and this guy was not quite fleet enough.
No, he did not quite have the fleetest of foot, and he gets caught on the boards, and he gets jarred. Like, I've seen the majority of NHL hits are not this hard.
No.
And this guy doesn't have pads on, too, you got to remember. He has a helmet, and that's it.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way he's keeping up with the real athletes on the rink. The first image is of him on his rear, and he's just kind of, his head just kind of rotates.
He's just done.
Like, he's the bobblehead.
This is the guy who, it's like 2:30 in the morning, the bar's closed down, and he's just, he can't make it home. So he just sits in the
right in
the middle of the sidewalk and's like, yeah, this is good. I'll just spend the night here.
Yeah, someone call me in the morning. He just yells to nobody in particular. Just pick me up in the morning. Pick me up in the morning. So this guy's sitting on the ice, and he's shaking his head, trying to wonder where he is, what his name is, and if he has a family or not.
been playing. That was a big hit, and unfortunately for the linesman, he was just collateral damage.
Man, the Zebras are cocked. They seem to be in the crosshairs of the Melbourne Ice. Let's have a look at this.
Oh, that leg whip. That's like a wrestling leg whip, what happened there. That guy's leg was extended as he went, flew into the boards.
It was like a wrestling move. It looked like the way they do when they're bouncing off the ropes
yeah,
and they swing both
real,
of their elbows
yeah.
out.
Yeah, except that was with his feet. Why was it hanging out so wide? It's like one of those seats where, you know, you don't want to get caught tripping somebody, but it looks really obvious. You're like, like you just take an extra wide step or something. It doesn't, like, there's no rationale for why his leg was like that. It's
yeah.
really unbelievable. So, that's the second time.
What?
Second time! Now, there's a cleaning crew here.
If you could, no, that was the sales crew being ejected. What'd I tell you?
See you, Jim.
They tried to get us, too.
See you, Jim. We're hanging on. These mic stands are practically into the ground, man. We're hanging on. Now, there's a GD red light.
No.
It's on the top of the door. It says,
not only that,
on air.
Not only that, but the person
Jesus.
The person had already poked their head in once.
Yeah,
and they were like,
did you forget?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's two people in here. And the second time, they decided to poke their head in again, this time with a...
God, there's a no wonder that he's wearing a Ghostbusters pack. There's a no wonder your second shift cleaning crew. What, do you have amnesia?
He really was.
You turn around, forget we're in here?
It really was like a shop vac that they pulled in
yeah.
here.
Yeah. God. Oh, that's so frustrating.
I'm sorry, guys. A tornado just touched down in the
yes.
studio briefly.
It's a bright red light. I don't even know how you miss it.
You're really,
absolutely befuddling.
You're hung up on the light. I'm hung up on the fact that they poked their head in once and then came in again with a vacuum.
The second time, practically in the room before they realized, oh, yeah, I was just in here. Like, are you lost? This building's a fucking square, TJ. It's a square!
I know, man. You don't tell me.
Oh!
Punch in the face!
Yeah, I almost had to pull up the intro music. Almost had to pull it up. God, was that... So anyway...
I know you're just trying to cash your check, cleaning crew, but I'm about to snap your neck.
Yeah, step off, Ghostbusters! Step off! I'd punch Ray Parker Jr. right in the face if he were in here right now, too, for making that.
I feel like the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man is about to come around the corner. You see him just walk around the corner.
Yeah, I'll point him down the hallway. Guy's looking for you. He came in here twice. Dicks.
Have your showdown somewhere else.
Yeah, God, yeah, I don't want anything to do with that. I just want to record the best sports podcast on the internet. That's all I want.
Can we just get through one show without having a problem?
One! Oh!
Elbow right in the mouth.
Oh,
Casper
no.
Russell Huber, our linesman there, taking it right in the chin.
So, after this linesman gets hit, TJ,
mm-hmm.
what happens is something that only could happen in Australia because they are so short-staffed that... This linesman gets hit and knocked out. Well, apparently they don't have an alternate. Now, I believe the NHL, I can't be for certain, I believe they have a... Do they have a fully alternate crew or just a couple of alternates?
I think just a couple. It might even be just one.
Which usually will
sure.
handle any issue that might arise.
Yeah.
I mean, so, but apparently Australia, not quite in the budget. Whatever organization and league this is, not quite budgeted for an alternate
no.
referee. So a guy goes down... Well, it just so happens one of those voices you heard is a I don't know if he's a referee. He referees hockey on lower levels. So that would be like me after going through slow pitch softball umpiring class, getting called up to like AAA tomorrow because so-and-so has the flu.
Yeah,
and you're the only one within 300 miles.
You're the intramural ref at
yeah.
our college, goes up to the big leagues here and starts calling games. Ridiculous.
So this guy, Stephen White, honest to God, left the booth and went down. He had hockey equipment because he was going to play in a, quote, reserves match. I don't know what any of this means. It feels like we're speaking a foreign language.
No. What other league in the world do they have a game after the professional game on the same ice?
Stick around later, folks, for the encore, the reserves match of the people who play for fun.
Boo. There's more people at that game than there are at the professional.
And that's all family.
Yeah.
Because they get in for free.
Absolutely. So,
but Stephen White goes down. Now, he had protective gear with him, which apparently, as we just saw, protective gear means a helmet. And that's about it. But this is where it's funny, because he obviously, he's not carrying a referee shirt. So they took this referee who can't speak his name, doesn't know the country he's in, and now has like a Chinese dialect because his brain's so pudding. They take him to the back. They throw him on the table, which no doubt in Australia is just a slab of a tree that they cut off and threw in there.
Yep.
And then built the building around it because they couldn't figure out how to get it in the doorway.
Yep. And then they wipe the brain fluid off the jersey and put it on the other guy.
They stuck a few tampons up the guy's nose to stop the fluid leakage.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry, sir, but you're going to need this brain later. We're going to have to put these up here.
Let's see if we can stuff it up in there and see if you're okay. Hang on. You might want to put this rag in your mouth, too. You never know where it's going to leak from.
I'm going to have to ask that you wear this very tight-fitting hat.
If you have any open pores, you may want to put a tourniquet around it because you might start seeing some fluid leakage from your brain, sir. It'll be green colored. So Stephen White steps in, and they had to take the shirt off of this guy's shoulder. Just imagine the confusion. This poor guy, his head's on a swivel. He's just going back and forth with that grass is furry. And there's a couple guys there, no doubt a player or two, who lift his arms up. And they just rip the shirt off this guy. So he's sitting there, in my mind, shirtless, with a helmet and pants and ice skates. And he's kicking because his feet can't hit the ground. So he's just kicking, going, "Mommy, I want a sucker."
He's saying things that don't even make sense. Like, my head feels like red.
What's the sky taste like? Things like that. And Stephen White steps in.
I can hear the golf club.
Wouldn't that wall just say? You shut your mouth.
Stop looking at me, Apple.
You better turn the other way, hockey stick. We're going to have a real issue. Don't you talk about my wife like that, man.
Oh. Do I have a wife?
So he... Yeah. Do I have a win? So he puts on the shirt and he finishes out the game. He got out there and there was 2,000 people there. I find that hard to believe.
That's like when there's 2,000 announced.
Oh, it's the Marlins.
But really, they're 300 tickets.
Yeah, it's the Miami Marlins. That's what it is. The attendance was closer to the double digits than it was triple digits, actually.
Yep.
Well, moving on, should we get to, I don't want to miss out on this, on TRT update this week. Should we jump right into that?
No, we can, what else we got on tap here?
Well, we do have.
Yeah, let's do this.
The most anticipated golf rap music video of the year, TJ.
Let's do this.
Now, I just saw this headline and I listened to a few seconds of it and I immediately had a reaction that will not be like most.
Won't be
humans who have a soul.
Won't be surprising though, because we've had illustrious history of
we do
bagging on little kids who are trying to be glory hounds.
Now what we have is a 5-year-old making a golf rap music video.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb C.
A lot of things at work here, because what 5-year-old plays golf or knows anything about golf?
Yeah,
the most I knew about golf was the plastic putter set I had when I was a kid.
Yeah, go build blocks or something, you idiot. Like, what are you doing? God, this kid should already be taken away from his parents.
Go find... I agree. Go find a blanket and a chair and build a fort or something stupid.
Yeah. No kid. God, do something 5-year-olds do instead of having mom and dad direct you in a stage production.
Color outside the lines all stupid-like.
Yeah, no kidding. Be dumb. Be dumb, kid.
Eat glue. I don't know. Do something weird.
Yeah. So let's see how long I can make it into this without getting angry. The most anticipated golf rap music video of the year. Now, this is an
exclusive preview.
Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
To never have too many exclamation points.
The I Love Golf rap music video.
By Caleb C.
That's the thing, folks. It's not just a rap. It's a music video.
Yeah, that's the key, is he's going to be in different locales.
Uh-huh. Oh.
I love golf. Oh. It's a game for me.
Oh, my God. I hate this kid.
Yeah, maybe you should learn how to pronounce your L's, stupid.
Yeah. Hey,
it's
how
not,
about...
What's I love golf?
Yeah, how about some primary education to start before jumping into rap, you stupid idiot?
You know that his parents are those hippie parents, those new age hippie parents that just let their kids do whatever they want and learn themselves?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, you know his mom stinks.
I love golf.
It's not golf. There's an L. We just said it. It's not I love golf. All right? God, go pet an animal.
All right, next.
It's a game for me. This is I Love Golf by Caleb C. I love golf. It's my favorite sport. I can take a putt if it's long or short. I love golf. It's so much fun. I celebrate with...
Oh, this kid's getting beat up. I don't know what age bullying starts in school, in primary education.
Not soon enough.
Oh, yeah. If we could call this school and get a jump on it, maybe get this kid a few...
I need to get in contact with the kid you think's going to be the bully in high school by 10 years from now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Can you put him on the line a second? Hey, Kyle and TJ here from Riding the Pine with Kyle and TJ.
Yeah, listen, Bruno. We're going to need you to... We're going to need you to find Caleb C. here out on the playground and make him eat dirt.
Oh, I like Caleb. He's a friend.
Not anymore.
Well, we're going to need you to do something for us there, Bruno. We need you to find Caleb, and when he comes up to say hi, you push him in the wood chips.
How does a whole dollar for your trouble sound?
Wow, a whole dollar, mister!
Absolutely. Do you know how many gumballs you can buy with that, sir?
Not at all!
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this kid
what,
needs to be pushed.
Tell you what, I'll either give you $1 or 10 nickels.
Well, 10's a lot more than one!
Oh, kids are stupid.
I get a hole in one. I love golf. Driving it here and off. I love golf. I love golf. I drive his whip so much. Got my own kids cut threads to max fly in this game.
Are you even saying words now, Caleb C?
Okay.
Oh,
here's where I turn.
That kid should definitely push him down and teabag him.
Yeah,
I
wish the kid who actually looks like the nerd, you know, he's got his glasses and he's trying to look tough, and he looks at least 3 years older than this loser, but Caleb C. is now wearing a flat-billed cap popped up on his head.
Yeah, and a polo shirt. You look so gangster.
Oh, God. I can't tell you the amount of time I've wanted to really punch a child. But this is one of, in more recent memory, this is one of them.
I do see your face like twitching and your fingers are kind of like itching.
This is just brutal.
It's really hard to our pets every day in my backyard. Send them a cool try, be a big shot. Hey, check out my
nice one, rich boy.
Boom! Yeah, that just happened. A 5-year-old kid I love golf.
Okay. Is that... Okay. Listen here, Richie Rich. Because your parents have money doesn't mean you can't be bullied.
Yeah,
okay?
Seriously.
Oh, I cannot wait.
Can we get an update on Caleb C. 3 years from now? I want to see how many bugs
kids
he was forced to eat.
Now, what's... The sad part of this isn't the scary part, TJ, is somehow this is only a preview.
No.
Of the full music video, man. It's a preview.
Well, his parents are obviously stupid as well because they do not know what preview means.
Oh. Just the fact that there's a family out there that, oh, boy, that was a bad screen cap. Sideways, backwards, hat. This kid needs to be punched. That's the only way to describe this.
Watch him turn out to be like next Eminem or something.
Yeah.
The rich Eminem.
You know, it's actually...
Macklemore.
It's a huge popular clip right now. Well, it has been, of Tiger Woods on whatever the late night show was when he was 4 years old, sinking a putt.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is the opposite of that, because that was somewhat entertaining and adorable.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, oh, hey, kid, and he was quiet, and he was, you know, he was pleasant to watch do that. this kid is, like I said, the opposite of that with his stupid rich parents.
Yeah.
And his stupid clothing and his dumb rap.
Also the opposite of that because in 20 years from now, he will not be on the PGA Tour.
No, no.
He will, in fact, be cashiering at the local Speedway.
Yeah, smoking weed, using his parents' money. That's yeah. how he is going to, that's how he turns out in his early 20s.
There, we just saved you the whole trouble of living, Gilbsy.
Yeah, way to go. Well, this is, this video right here, I wanted to get to this because we've talked about soccer and, God, where now? The Netherlands, where they built the road through it.
Yeah, everywhere, dude. It's a global sport.
We've talked
game.
About a plenty of soccer. Hungary, I feel like, Netherlands. And now we're about to add the Thai Premier League to that list. Thailand.
Legendary.
playing soccer. Now,
Bwongtong United.
Obviously, the audio. Whoa. The audio is not going to make a lot of sense. Because it is another language. So
unless we have Thai listeners, I know we've touched on Thailand before.
Yeah, so. Break it down. Well, okay, there's a score to the soccer game. That's not important. He hits a long goal, nifty, whatever. Now, this celebration is so, the reason I like this video is because it's such a slow mover. He scores this goal. Now, his reaction's subdued. He scores this goal. Camera zooms in on him. He's walking. Puts his finger above his head. Points. He's happy. Nothing major. You know, you'll see soccer players, you know, where they'll do the dive and the slide on the grass. They'll yeah. do whatever. They'll be on their knees. And if you're Brandy Chastain, you take your shirt off. Whatever.
Whatever you want to do.
This guy was so subdued. He appeared so calm.
and then he just went to another place.
And then this happened. He takes his pants off.
Duh.
He pulls his pants down, just calmly, cool, collected, and he puts his game-worn yeah. shorts
yeah.
on his head.
It's probably me.
And begins to run around, does some crazy hand signal towards the crowd. The crowd loves it. Referee... Not so much. Shakes his head. Immediately gives a red card. He actually grabbed the yellow card. Look at him. Watch this referee. It's like he was deciding, like, oh, no. Oh, yellow? No, thanks. Red. Guy puts his pants back on. No way.
Not all the way on, though. Yeah, just to his knees.
Yeah, so he looks like a teenager trying to act like a gangster. So his shorts are hanging just above his knees.
And he's walking away.
Yeah, and he's walking away. And I don't even know if he fights this. This is the weirdest ejection ever, because I'm looking at a Thai man's rear end as he's walking away.
I wonder what those fans are yelling at.
They're probably all thrilled.
You did it.
You know, this is the difference, because American television would never show a replay of this. But Thailand's showing, like, three different angles, man. So, I guess... I guess there's a line on your celebrations. I don't, but that's the funny part. The referee walking around goes, oh boy, you can't do that. Yeah, that's pretty rough.
He left
a red card.
Yeah, I like how he walks up to him too. He's just like, man,
did you have to do that?
Come
on, you're up
2-0. He looks at him like the disappointed dad. Like,
yeah,
come on,
it's the second time. It's yeah. Greg Popovich of Thailand.
Yeah,
like he walks, you know. You were having such a good game. I really appreciated the way you were playing.
It was a good goal, and you should be excited.
Goal.
But maybe
you top shelfed it, and then you ripped your pants off.
Everything was going good for you. You looked so calm, and then you just went off the deep end.
Yeah, you know that's crude. Now I'm gonna have to pull a card on you. He goes, yeah, I know.
This isn't China. We're not gonna kill you. We're just gonna give you a red card.
You're still a male, so you still have some value. So we're not gonna throw you off a short. We're not gonna throw you off a cliff right now. I'll pull out a card. Oh, yeah, nope. Sorry. What a difference?
I'm sorry. You're just gonna have to sit out the rest of this one. We'll get them next time.
Yeah,
maybe
rub on the shoulder and then a pat on the rear, and you're on your way.
Next time, just keep the pants on, guy.
Mm-hmm.
Save that for after the game.
Whoa! I messed that one up totally.
Dead.
High from the heavens, looking down on all of us measly fans. It's your weekly Timothy Richard Tebow statistical update, keeping you up to date with God's favorite backup quarterback.
We're trying to keep you up to date. mm-hmm. is there's no better way to wrap up the show on a weekly basis than with a Timothy Richard Tebow update.
Mm-hmm. Kyle, I got to just say before we get started, I don't remember who it was. I don't remember where I heard it. I think it was something on ESPN where somebody had the nerve, the gall, to compare Timothy Richard Tebow to Vince Young.
Where do you... See, that's how upset I am. Where do you get off?
I don't know, man.
Even putting the two in even a remotely similar category.
I get it. Both of them don't have the greatest arms.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Are there two quarterbacks in that scenario that are endorsed by Jesus?
No.
Only the one.
And that's because he's not a heathen.
He didn't get a 3 on the Wonderlic. He didn't spend all of his money in strip clubs and then take out a loan for a birthday party.
Wow, I forgot that happened. Yeah. Yeah, see, he's doing a lot of things the wrong way. He's indulging in life's excesses.
You know what he's not doing?
What?
Being one-tenth of the man Timothy Richard Tebow is.
Fact.
A couple of quick mentions of Timothy Richard before we depart you this fine week. There's a report out there that I can only call blasphemous, and I could only say would reflect immensely poorly on the man if this is true. Apparently, the hooded wonder, Bill Belichick, does not, quote unquote, hate Tebow. Yes, stop looking. Mm-hmm. Hates Tebow as a player. Hates.
Wow.
If true.
We can assume it is because it's Bill Belichick.
True. You would hope. It's hard to hate that man. He's handsome. He's the best quarterback in football today, but teams are scared to sign him because they don't want to have to deal with Christian groups.
Mm-hmm. And apparently they don't want to deal with success. They want to...
Yeah, hey, middling teams.
Yeah.
Hey, Arizona. Hey, Jacksonville.
And I'm not going to let our own Detroit Lions escape from this.
No.
You have a perfectly good quarterback sitting there waiting.
You're just waiting for the time. And you can't make
the
move.
The time is now.
It is. So Timothy Tebow, possibly hated by Coach Bill Belichick. But don't worry. There is salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Reported to be untrue. Bill Belichick himself refutes the report that he hates Tim Tebow.
Okay. Good. Hopefully he's not the snake in the Garden of Eden.
Come on. It's Bill, of course.
We've had a lot of issues with Bill Belichick.
Yes.
What is going on?
Okay. I need to interrupt this because for the past 2 GD minutes... Well, I'm trying to read about Timothy Richard Tebow. There's been an MFing circus happening in our little porthole window. What is going on here today?
I don't know.
What is happening?
I do not know. Why do they need to get into the room? Can they not wait 10 minutes?
Is there no other room that they can record in? Oh, wait, I know there is. It's called a corner booth. It works the same.
Wait,
God!
These are people who work here?
Yes, employees.
Oh, my God. That's worse. Feel free. I was feeling kind of bad for the cleaning service because, I mean, they're just trying to...
I wouldn't because I've been in here when they've been cleaning and they just bypass the room. They don't care. They're cleaning crew. They've already given up on life.
Okay.
These people are employees. They're staring at me through this window, TJ. I swear to God. Like this. Like cupping their eyes when they look at me. Like, oh, yeah, that's people.
Oh, yeah, that's two people in there. Hang on.
Sure looks busy.
Hang on. He's talking into the microphone. Yep. Yep, still talking. Oh, hang on. Yep, that light's still on up there, too. Okay, hang on. Hang on. Well, maybe.
All right, I'm going to count to 5 and close my eyes, and maybe after that they'll be done. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Hey, still talking.
Hey, Bill, come on over here a second. God, put your hand over the top of mine.
What do you think he's doing there?
Can you see? Is there someone in there? Is there someone talking? Yep, it looks like it. Hang on a second. Let me check that light on the top of the door. Recording.
What do you think that means, Bill?
I don't know. Let's keep looking.
We'll get to the bottom of this one way or another if we have to stare. You know what? Why don't you go ahead and drill a hole in the wall? We'll look there.
And you know what? One of the people in there is a person who's far and gone by now, voice-tracked her nightly radio show by 2 p.m. The day before. So Lord knows what she's even doing in the building right now.
Yeah.
Well, God!
She does the nightly radio show here from, what, 7 to midnight?
Yeah.
And I've never seen her in the building. Ever.
No, ever. Ever. And we record at the same time. We recorded this. Danielle, could you do me a favor and tell them we'll be out of here in about 5 minutes? And if they could stop peering through the window. All right. Well, we are back on this unmitigated disaster of an episode of Riding the Pine.
We should have left that in for the lost tapes.
Yeah, that would have been a nice extra addition to release to folks.
That would have been, everyone could understand the hole that we record in every.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. We were just accused of being random hobos who came, stumbled in, and knew how to run this equipment.
That was the best part.
Yeah. I'm homeless. I live by the bus station.
I'm just trying to cut my demo for the local TV station.
I saw
that guy Golden Throat on the news, and, I felt like I was up to the task.
But I figured, you know what I could do is, I could just come up here and figure out how to monkey around some radio equipment. You know, after hours when you need an access card to get up there, I'll figure I'll get in there somehow.
Smoke it myself inside the cleaning crew.
Yeah.
Cleaning bin.
There's no better way to end the weekly edition than that, DJ.
It's fitting.
A real high note, if you will. Gosh.
Well, at least it wasn't Nader Todd derailing us this time.
Oh, God, yeah. An outside force actually derailed us. How does that even happen?
I don't know. Do you think that's not hip-hop underground?
No.
Good.
Nope.
Because if it was.
No issues, though. Hey, I'm not worried. Everything's settled in my book. Guy came in, wanted to have a talk about who we were while we were recording, which is...
We told him, kings of the internet. You've probably been on the internet, right? Yeah, if so, then you should just move along, skedaddle.
It was, it's handled now. That's the big no-no. In a radio building, you don't go into a studio that has a recording light on, and you can see people recording.
Especially when you know who they are.
Because you... whatever. Okay, we're not going to get into it. That's all the time we got for this week. TJ's got to get himself to a baseball game.
Would have been on time for, and now I'm late.
Now, so you know what? Apologies to everybody around. We'll see you next time. Hopefully, Nader Todd will be back. If not, expect a similar beat-up session. You have been listening to Riding the Pine.